This morning on the program, I want to ask the question, can you fall from grace? What does the Bible teach about the man-made doctrine called once saved, always saved? Does the Bible teach that once you're saved, you're always saved? Does the Bible teach that once you are in grace, you are always in grace? Friends, we want to look at what the Bible says. We want to let the Bible speak to this very popular question, and we're glad that you've joined us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. The doctrine of once saved, always saved, or some call it the impossibility of apostasy, is a doctrine of man. It's taken from the fifth point of 5 points taught by John Calvin in the late 1500s and early 1600s AD. There are many churches and religions today that teach once you're saved, you're always saved. There are churches here in the Clarksville area that teach that very thing, but unfortunately, that is a doctrine of man. It does not come from God. John Calvin systematized his teaching, and he was very systematic from beginning to end, and he felt that he had a logical flow of all of his Bible teaching, but it's from man, it's not from God. John Calvin taught that a baby is born totally depraved. He inherits his sin from Adam and Eve. And then when it comes time for Jesus to die, there is no conditions to receive the saving blood of Jesus. And so there's nothing you can do. There's no conditions that you can meet because you're totally depraved. You cannot do anything good. And so his first point was total depravity. His second point was unconditional election. God chooses those to be saved unconditionally, not having to meet any conditions. And so when Jesus came to die on the cross, he died for only the elect. His atonement was limited. And so the third point of Calvin's teaching, limited atonement. When it comes time for a person to be saved, he cannot resist the grace of God. The Holy Spirit comes into his life. And so the fourth point was called irresistible grace. And then the last point that Calvin thought was logical and systematic with his teaching, the perseverance of the saints. If God unconditionally elects you, and if Jesus dies for you, and the Holy Spirit is irresistible, then once you're saved, you're always saved. The perseverance of the saints. A good way to remember those 5 points of Calvinism is to take the first letter of each point. It spells TULIP. Total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of the saints. Now, while this is widely taught in various denominations across the land and around the world, it does not come from God's Word. We're going to take the last of John Calvin's 5 points, perseverance of the saints, and answer the question, what does the Bible teach about salvation? Is it something where once you're saved, you're always saved? Does the Bible teach the impossibility of apostasy or falling away? The fact is, friends, when we let the Bible speak, we're going to find today that God's Word tells us that we can indeed fall from grace. We can indeed apostatize and fall away from God. And what we're going to look at this morning are 4 things. We're going to see that there are plain statements of apostasy. We're going to see that there are examples, actual examples of those who engaged in apostasy. We're going to look at some warnings against apostasy. And then we're going to look at some conditional statements. The little word if in the New Testament teaches us that it's possible to fall away. Friends, yes, you can fall from grace. We're glad that you've joined us, and we hope that you'll open up your Bible and follow along. What is the issue when we look at this question of once saved, always saved, taught by man? What is the issue? Turn with me to John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. The issue is not God's power to save. We believe, and the Bible teaches, that God is powerful enough to save those whom He wants to save. It's not a question of God's power. The issue is man's power to remain faithful. Will man exercise his faith and his spiritual mind and heart to remain faithful? God is powerful enough to save us, but God's power to save does not override man's free will to remain faithful or not. God allows us to exercise our free will, and we can remain faithful or we can choose not to remain faithful. In John chapter 10, when Jesus was talking about how that He was the good shepherd and His sheep, His disciples, follow Him, this is a classic text used by the Calvinists to teach that once you're saved, you're always saved. But read the text carefully with me, if you will. Jesus is talking to those who will not believe, those Jews who will not believe. He had been talking to the Pharisees in John chapter 9 with the man born blind, and He continues that thought into chapter 10, and they did not want to follow Him. In John chapter 10, verse 25, Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in My Father's name, these bear witness of Me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of My sheep. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of My hand. My Father, who hath given them unto Me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." Many read that text and they say, see, once you're saved, you're always saved. Jesus said twice that no one shall snatch them away. And so that appears to be teaching, once you're saved, you're always saved. The problem is that the rest of Scripture shows that a sheep can stop following the shepherd. They remove this passage from other Bible passages and make it say, once you're saved, you're always saved. Jesus is simply making the point that when the sheep follow the shepherd, they will have eternal life. No one can take that away. But the Scripture teaches elsewhere that a sheep can stop following the shepherd. And so it's not a matter of God's power. That's not the issue. It's a matter of man's free will. We believe that God is powerful. In fact, we're going to close this morning with Jude 24, Him that is able to guard us from falling. God can guard us from falling. There are things that God does to keep us saved, but He's not going to override our free will. We're aware, for example, of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Peter says, "Who by the power of God are guarded through faith unto eternal salvation to be revealed in the last day." We're guarded by God's power, but it's also through our faith, and a person can stop having faith. And so this morning, we want to look at this matter of once saved, always saved, or once in grace, always in grace. And what we're going to find is that you and I can fall from grace. As I said earlier, we're going to look at four things: plain statements of apostasy, examples of apostasy, warnings against apostasy, and finally, some examples of conditional if statements in the New Testament. And these teach that if we do such and such, we can be saved, but if we do not do that, we can be lost. First of all, this morning, friends, let's look at the matter of plain Bible statements showing that a person can fall from grace. One of the plainest that I know of is Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, where Paul had been talking about Christians who want to go back and seek to be justified by the old law. Paul writes, "Ye are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. you are fallen away from grace. I don't see how that can be any plainer. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, but the Spirit says expressly that in latter times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. A person cannot fall away from the faith unless they have been in the faith to start with. Paul in Galatians 5 and 1 Timothy 4, 1 are talking about Christians who are saved and in the faith and in God's grace, and they can fall away from that. There are other plain statements of apostasy. Jesus taught this in the parable of the sower. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 13, and those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. We can be a believer for a while and then fall away. Jesus talks about the vine and the branches. He is the vine and his disciples are the branches. In John chapter 15 and verse 1. And then in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. But if we do not bear fruit, what does Jesus say? Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So, a branch can be abiding in Christ for a while and then choose not to abide anymore in Christ. And branches that do not bear will be taken away and cast into the fire, and they are burned. A person can sin willfully. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, what do we read there? A Christian can sin willfully, be unrepentant. They don't want to come back. And what does the Hebrew writer say? The whole book of Hebrews is about warnings against Christians who are falling away. The book of Hebrews in particular is very much against the man-made doctrine of once saved, always saved. In fact, the Calvinists today who teach once saved, always saved, they have trouble with the book of Hebrews because it's very plain that Christians can fall away. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. Clearly, the Hebrew writer is talking about Christians who have received a knowledge of the truth and they're living right for a while, but they sin willfully. They will not repent. So, we have plain statements showing that a person can fall from grace. Number two, we have examples of those who can fall away and who did fall away. While we're here in the book of Hebrews, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 4. Really, much of the book of Hebrews talks about Christians falling away and the warning against that and trying to keep Christians from doing that. He wants to exhort his readers not to fall away. Hebrews 6, verse 4. He doesn't mention by name, but he's talking about Christians. For as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then fell away, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Somebody says, well, were these really Christians? Absolutely. Look at the descriptions of them given. Enlightened, tasted of the heavenly gift, partakers of the Holy Spirit, tasted the good word of God, crucifying to themselves the Son of God afresh. We're talking about Christians, friends. We have examples of those who have fallen away. Turn to Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 with regard to the church at Ephesus. These are Christians. If they will not repent, what does John say? But I have this against thee, that thou didst leave thy first love. Remember therefore whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I come to thee, and will move thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. There are individuals, and some of them by name, who were right with God, and yet fell away. Judas fell from his place, Acts 1:25. Simon, who was a new Christian, he had been baptized into Christ along with others there in the city of Samaria. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 8, in Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through 14, he's a new Christian. Acts 8:13, he was baptized along with the other individuals there in Samaria. But down in verses 18 and following, when he wants to buy the gift of laying on of hands of the miraculous gifts, he wants to be able to buy that so he can do that himself. Peter says, his money perish with you. Peter said in verse 20, thy silver perish with thee, because thou hast thought to obtain the gift of God with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right before God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray the Lord if perhaps the thought of thy heart shall be forgiven thee. He was a Christian who fell away. Hymenaeus and Philetus fell away from the faith, made shipwreck of the faith. 1 Timothy 1, 19 through 20. 2 Timothy 2, 17 and 18. And they took others with them. James writes in James chapter 5 about brethren who err from the truth. In James chapter 5 and verse 19, my brethren, we're clearly talking about Christians. If anyone among you, brethren, Christians, if anyone among you err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he who converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. This Christian is clearly erred, has fallen away, and needs to be brought back. And we need to work to bring back erring Christians. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. Clearly, we're talking about someone who is right with God and then falls away. Peter has been talking about false teachers who deceive and delude others in 2 Peter chapter 2. And we come to verse 20. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state has become worse with them than the first. For it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog turning to his own vomit again, and the sow that is washed to wallowing in the mire. Clearly, we're talking about Christians. They have escaped the defilements of the world, and they have learned the knowledge and have obeyed the knowledge of the Lord, but they're entangled again. They have fallen away. The Israelites, Old Testament example, in Jude verse 5, the Israelites were believers. They came out, passed through the Red Sea, they're coming through the wilderness, but some of them don't make it to Canaan land because they stop believing and obeying. Jude writes in verse 5, now I desire to put you in remembrance, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, having saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. They were saved when they came out of Egypt, but then they were destroyed when they stopped believing. And if you read Hebrews chapter 4, they stopped believing because they did not obey the word that God gave them after they came out of Egypt. There's different examples in the book of Numbers of where those who were saved are then lost because on different occasions they would not believe and obey the Lord. Sometimes they tempted and tried and disobeyed the Lord, and when they did that, they were destroyed. But they were saved at one point. No, the Scripture does not teach once you're saved, you're always saved. The Scripture teaches that we're saved when we will repent of our sins and be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins and confess that Christ is Lord, Romans 10:9-10. But we must continue to be faithful thereafter. So number one, we have plain statements of apostasy. Number two, we have examples of apostasy. And now, number three, we have warnings against apostasy. Friends, why would there be warnings in the New Testament of apostasy if it's impossible to apostatize? Why would we have warnings if it's not even possible for that to happen? Let's look at some of the warnings. We're given warnings because it is possible to fall away. For example, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10:11-12, speaking to Christians, "Now these things happened unto them by way of example, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. Wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Take heed lest he fall. Well, if the Scripture teaches that you can't fall from grace, why did Paul say, take heed lest you fall? Warnings are there because it is realistic. Warnings are in Scripture because it is real and it is possible to actually do what is being warned against. We could turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, where the Hebrew writer says, take heed, brethren. There's your warning. Hebrews 12:15. Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. That's Hebrews 3:12. And then Hebrews 12:15. Looking carefully, there's your warning. Looking carefully, lest there be any man that falls short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled. Take heed, Hebrews 3:12. Look carefully, Hebrews 12:15. These are warnings. Because it is real, it is possible to fall short of the grace of God. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he talks about running as the Christian life is compared to a race. And he says, I buffet my body and bring it into bondage or subjection, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. We already read Hebrews 10:26, that it is possible for a person to sin willfully. And he's talking about Christians there. They're just simply going to meet the judgment of God. In the same chapter of Hebrews chapter 10, he warns against those who might shrink back or pull back, stop following Christ. Hebrews 10:38. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrink back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but unto them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. We're not going to be like those Christians who fall and shrink back. We're going to be like those who have faith unto the saving of the soul. We have to keep being faithful all the way to the end. John writes in Revelation chapter 3 about the possibility of having our name taken out of the Lamb's book of life. It's written in when we obey the gospel, but it can be taken away if we are unfaithful. In writing to the church at Sardis in Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh shall be thus arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life. That's said in such a way that it can be taken out. It is possible. So, we have plain statements. Galatians 5:4, you are fallen from grace. We have examples of those who fell away. Hebrews 6:4-6, and then fell away. It is impossible to renew them again under repentance. We have clear warnings. Let therefore him that thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10:11-12. And then last of all, we have conditional statements that are found in the New Testament. And a conditional statement simply means that if the person meets the condition of the statement, then he receives the blessing or the reward of that statement. For example, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul writes, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Well, if we faint, we will not reap. If we faint not, then we will reap the blessings of heaven. If statements teach very clearly that we must keep being faithful all the way to the end, and that salvation, the ultimate salvation of a Christian in heaven, is conditioned on the if. Here's another one, Hebrews 3, verse 14. "For we are become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end." That statement makes no sense. If once we're saved, we're always saved. Why say that? It would automatically be that once a person is saved, is always saved, and the Hebrew writer would not need to mention these types of things, but he's mentioning it because it is possible to fall away. And so, if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end, we are partakers of Christ. Here's another one, 1 John 2 and verse 24. "If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you," that's the truth of the New Testament gospel, "you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father." If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you. Well, it's possible that it does not abide in you. It's possible for a person not to keep his confidence firm unto the end. It's possible for a person to faint. All of these if statements point to the importance of remaining faithful if we are to receive the blessing that is mentioned. There are other places. John 8:31, "If you abide in my word, then you are my disciples." Colossians 1, 22 and 23, "If you continue in the faith." 2 Peter 1, 10 through 11, "If you do these things." 1 John 1, 7, "If we walk in the light," you see. And so, these are conditional statements. Friends, the doctrine "once saved, always saved" was popularized by John Calvin, and it continues to be taught by man today, but it's not from the Word of God. God's Word teaches that it is possible to fall away. It might be a most comforting and consoling doctrine of man, but wishing it will not make it so. Telling someone that they cannot fall from grace is like the devil telling Eve she will not die. Genesis 3, 4, and that's exactly what happened to them. It might be comforting, it might be consoling, but it's not the truth. God tells us how to keep from falling by being faithful in His Word. And He tells us what to do when we fall. We can confess our sins and come back to Him. Will you do that? Thank you for joining us today on the Let the Bible Speak program.